Hour number two of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. We start with the top four at four, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Tucker Harlan.
That one was better anyway.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Tucker.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee continues its season with a midweek contest against Queens tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. First pitch is at 6, and the game will air on SEC Network Plus. Marcus Phillips getting the start for the Vols.
We will rock them because we will be the champions of the world.
Where does one go in New York to find a bride? Queens.
Good. I like that. Coming to America.
Uptown.
Yeah. So this is the next to last midweek game of the season. Number one, Tennessee, your first chance to see your number one ranked Vols at the top of the flagpole, man. What did Fulmer say? The wind blows hardest at the top of the flagpole.
That's true.
7 o'clock, first pitch?
6.
Ooh.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
2 hours. We're your unofficial, official UT baseball pregame show.
We're going to have to zip home, put it on the TV.
But it was 6:30.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
There appears to be doubt in young Tucker Harlan's eyes.
Six.
Okay, good.
We confirmed it.
You're taking what Bear thought it would be over Tucker's meticulously prepared report?
Well, I believe Tucker, but then he was like, I saw him do that face where he's like, uh-oh, and then he grabbed his phone.
It's one of my greatest talents.
Injecting uncertainty into an otherwise certain mind.
At number two, the Tennessee Titans have signed former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd to a one-year, $4.5 million deal. This reunites Boyd with his former offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, and that would make the Titans' top three receivers, Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins, and Calvin Ridley, not in that order.
With Burks and NWI, I guess, is your...
What, five?
Back half. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing to me how the previous regime basically neglected, almost was like... rubbing it in fans' face. Oh, we don't need receivers. We got a good one. We'll trade him. Yeah, we're not going to replace him either. We just don't need receivers. And they made it sound like it was such a Herculean task to get any decent receivers. And I know they got Hopkins last year, but, I mean, just look at this room now compared to where it was a year ago. Before, you know, we didn't know if we were going to get Hopkins. Think about how bad it would have been. I mean, it was bad last year. It would have been worse without him. And now Burks has become, I don't say a luxury because it's still disappointing that your first round pick is not panning out, but I mean, they're not exactly planning on him.
I was going to say, they're definitely not waiting on him at this point. If he flashes, great. If not, we got your replacements here.
At number three, former Tennessee linebackers coach Brian Niedermeyer has found a job as the defensive coordinator for
Moose.
Tuscaloosa County High School. Niedermeyer, of course, was given a 5-year show cause penalty in the collegiate ranks for his actions at Tennessee that prompted multiple NCAA violations.
We're not recruiting any Tuscaloosa players, are we?
If we are, don't bet on it.
Wasn't that thing he was poisoning the water for our
IMG,
guys at IMG?
Yes, 100%. We had guys committed, and then they flipped.
Who did we finally pull?
We did get one, and I can't remember.
Off this year? Off
at
in
IMG.
The last class?
It was like, no, it might have been two classes ago.
Oh, it was there's that Eccles guy that we had committed for, but we basically gave him to Golish. Yeah.
The tight end, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And there was.
I feel like there was a D lineman.
That's what I thought too. There were a few where it's like, oh, Tennessee leads in great shape, and then a month later, no interest in Tennessee. It's like, thanks, Niedermeyer.
I mean, it's not our fault you were a complete idiot at cheating.
No, not at all.
What an idiot.
And finally, at number four, Arkansas has landed a commitment at wide receiver from former MLB player Monte Harrison. Harrison spent a decade in pro baseball as he was drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers and was called up to the big league for both the Miami Marlins and Los Angeles Angels. He was a four-star in the class of 2014 at wide receiver.
What the hell is
in the
this
class
guy
of 2014?
This is Chris. Yes, 2014.
Is he playing baseball?
Dude, he's older than half the staff at the station.
He's older than me, yeah.
He's older than everybody on overtime.
What's
you,
his name?
Jake?
Monte Harrison.
Monte. I thought you said Monty. He's like, he even has an, he even sounds old. His name is Arthur Schmidt Jr.
I think it is Monty. It's M-O-N-T-E.
Sounds like a life insurance salesman.
I guess
like
it could
Cedar
be
Rapids.
Monte.
Is he just adding one of those little accents that goes up on the end of his name? Tucker?
Monte or Monty?
It's one of the two.
You know, you don't run into many Monties anymore.
That is true.
No, you don't.
Good name, though.
It was solid.
Did you grow up with a Monty?
Yeah, well, I actually had like a friend of a friend named Monty. He was an older guy and would buy us beer back before we could do it legally. God rest his soul.
We lose Monty?
We lost Monty.
Oh, that's sorry to hear that.
Just what your friend group probably needed was access to alcohol.
Doesn't any friend group need that when you're 18, 19 years old in college?
Yes.
I'm going to side with Russell on this one.
Touche. I agree.
I think we've all
got to have that guy.
Had to have an older brother somewhere, a bag man. Like, it just had to happen from time to time. Responsibly, of course.
Of course. Is that it? Thank you, Tucker. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles, where I go for all my dental work. I was in there yesterday. It was a quick drive-through. 30 minutes in the chair. In, out, all good.
The streak is still intact?
The streak remains intact. Although I am having like some just small issues that have popped up here lately. I don't know if they have to be treated or anything, but I'm like, is this what happened? Is this another just sign of getting old?
Is it just sensitivity?
So I had like, I didn't even know. She's like, you got to pull up your lip a little bit. You got a little bit, I think the word was recession or something. And
receding, your gums are receding?
Well, just on one spot on one of my front upper teeth. And she's like, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm freaking out. I'm like, what's wrong?
What's wrong
with my grill?
My streak.
And there was like a little indentation in there, so I paid extra special attention to it this morning. Hopefully it's good. Knock on wood. But if not, you know what I'll do?
Go back to Knoxville
Smiles. I'll go to Knoxville Smiles and be like, hey, I can't get right. Get me right. And they'll do it because it's what they do every single day at Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online, KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Or give them a call at 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment today.
And never hurts to be proactive, does it, Russ?
I'm trying to think. Does it ever hurt to be proactive? I'm sure it does. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. Boy, I remember when I was first getting started in radio. This was 20 years ago. And we had this dentist who will remain nameless that was advertising on the station I was at the time. And he butchered this poor woman who worked at our radio station.
In what way?
Literally chopped her up, killed her.
Just like she went in for a normal thing. I can't remember what it was, but she ended up having to go back three or four times. And every time she would go, she would come back in worse shape. Like she was just okay. And then next thing you know, like her face is swelling up and she's in pain. Then she's missing time. And she was going to.
Oh, I can ruin you for life. You don't want to. You never had a bad dentist experience?
No.
I've had multiple.
I've only had two dentists in my life. I told you, I had the guy, Dr. Greenblatt, that I went to growing up from the time I was a kid and we moved here until like 3 or 4 years ago. He retired and
he was a good dentist.
I was you know Dr. Greenblatt?
Yeah. There was Greenblatt and then you had Showalter and you either went to
that
one
was
of the two.
That was the only two. I was blessed, man. I found Knoxville Smiles and like they've been, I mean, no lie. Like it is fantastic in there. comfortable. Because I'll get a little anxious, man. Like you're up in my business, literally up in my grill. You got your hands in my mouth, like we're at close proximity, everything like that can be. And it's just
it's
anxious.
An intimate.
Yeah, they're scraping and stuff or whatever that happens in there, and they make it super comfortable. Like yesterday, I was there and they had this. They have that thing where the TV's on the ceiling now, you know, and it was like calming nature scenes. So I'm just sitting there watching cute little bunnies and puppy dogs and stuff. Serious, it was like pet TV or something, and it was just bucolic scenes of nature.
You know, like prison videos or something. Some of those crazy
they have
YouTube
different things. I mean, they have different things. Like sometimes there's sports. I never ask. I'm never like, could you change the channel? I'd like to watch the news while I get my teeth done.
They have HGTV playing in the waiting room.
I think actually they did have what, like one time I was in there and it was like a house flipping show or something. But like I said, I'm fine with whatever.
Yeah, I feel like HGTV or just something of that sort is the epitome of waiting room television.
You can't watch a show while you're getting your teeth worked on, right?
No.
But also, I'm looking up at the ceiling and there's TV in my, I can't not watch it.
You can close your eyes.
I don't think so. I don't know. Close your eyes while you're getting your teeth worked on?
Yeah, you just zone out.
One thing, here's the
real.
My thing with Knoxville Smiles is I know them well. They're advertisers, so I always like try and be chipper and chat people up and stuff in there. Like, if that wasn't the case, though, I was thinking about this yesterday. I would have definitely taken my earpods in there and just listened to a podcast or something, which I suppose you can do.
My dentist, when I was growing up, he was an early pioneer in that. He had a headset, and you could bring whatever cassette tape you. It was a Walkman.
Yeah,
I mean, you bring a cassette tape with you to your dentist appointment. He'd put it in for you. And then,
Earl Greenblatt, he had like a rabbit or so. They had kid, you know, a kid's chair, and then the adults.
Yeah, the posters
there.
On
there
the.
There was
yeah,
a rabbit. Yeah. Look at the rabbit. And they had that sink. Remember the sink that would swirl around. Up. I kind of liked
it's
that.
It's so satisfying to spit into that
bad
boy.
I missed the sink, man. Yeah.
Wait, you guys had to get up and spit in the sink?
No.
Like lean
sink.
Forward?
Well,
it was right beside you as a little bowl.
I never had
it
that.
Was
I just
porcelain.
Had the...
Really?
Yeah, just...
Well, when they introduced that was a game changer.
Oh, it's crazy.
I've never really liked having that. That thing drives me nuts.
The little vacuum?
The Hoover thing that's stuck in there, yeah.
That's what it is. They'd go in and do it, and they just say, close your mouth, and then you feel like all the oxygen has been sucked out of your lungs. Just, okay.
You're in a very, very compromised. I mean, just the way, usually when you're in a dentist chair, you're like beyond flat. Like you're almost, you know, your feet are above your head almost, it feels like.
I'm pretty much horizontal.
So, I don't know.
You can check them out. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Knoxville Smiles, they'll hook it up. We still got Joshy Boy?
Yeah, we sure do.
Let's work Joshy Boy in here before we get to today's smoking hot question. Joshy Boy, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
So I know you said before the baseball season you guys were going to try to do like a baseball postgame spaces. Have you done one this season or not yet?
No, and people keep asking that, and I feel badly. We probably should have done one the other night. I don't remember what I did instead, but
I feel like we were pretty spent after basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta build up to these things,
Joshy
Boy.
Here's the thing.
Oh, I don't want to give you anything less than the full and complete voluntary reaction experience. How could I do that to you, Joshy Boy? How could I give you anything less than 110%? I wouldn't do that to you.
I mean, Josh,
you can't give me 110%.
No, I mean, what you guys would have been getting would have been it had probably been 100% of 80%. And that's not
right.
Good enough.
80%?
Russ, I think if we get to Omaha, you should definitely do one.
Oh, you have my word. We make it to Omaha. We're definitely doing. We'll probably do one for the
SEC tournament.
Yeah, certainly the regionals, super regionals.
But there just hasn't been that series so far this year that's been dramatic enough to do one. I don't
think. Saturday again. We should have done one Saturday. I apologize, Joshy Boy. But
that's okay.
Sorry. it was, you know, I mean, that sixth inning against Florida was so much fun, man. That was,
yeah,
that was big time.
As Brett Bielema would say, borderline erotic.
Yep. So, Tucker, congrats on graduating from UT.
Thank you, Joshy boy. I haven't walked across the stage yet, but we are through the classes. We are through the out of the woods in that degree.
When's graduation?
What's the next chapter for the Tiger team?
Yet to be written, Joshy boy. Tiger, yet to be written.
Tiger team sticks together.
Yes.
Arr.
Working through problems left and right around this joint.
So let me ask you guys a question. I'd say the chances of getting Chaz Lanier are really, really, really good. So if it somehow happens that Tennessee doesn't land Chaz Lanier, you think Tennessee is kind of scratching their back that they didn't have a backup plan?
No, because I think that there's still plenty of time, and that's why you don't just sign guys anymore just to sign guys, because they've still got space. And there's plenty of time between now and when it's time to start getting ready. I mean, when they find Zakai Russ, like August.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all these big time, the AAU, the Peach Jam tournament, all the summer basketball tournaments are getting ready to start popping off, and you never know what you might find.
True. I'm just trying to keep positive on Lanier. I mean, we knew that this was going to go on for a while. Everything that the insiders have said was going to happen has happened. I've heard that the staff basically has been penciling him in since the season was still going on. So I don't know if,
but he is going to participate in the G League combine.
Said he wants to showcase his defense this weekend.
Yes.
He wants to showcase his defense. He ought to go ahead and commit here.
Do it for Rick Barnes.
Yeah.
He'll let you showcase it.
Yeah. And play against Jemai and some of the best.
So he is going to play in that G League thing? I thought he said he was not.
I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, he got an invitation.
Media,
yeah, he got an invitation.
And he decided to accept the G League Elite Combine invitation. Hmm. I thought the same thing, man.
Yeah.
Because, see, Connect turned him down. It was the same deal for Connect last year, and he declined the G League invitation.
I didn't know that.
So
do you guys think that when A.J. Russell does come back, he'll probably be in the bullpen? You think it could be a thing like Chase Burns was last year in the bullpen for the rest of the season?
I don't think there's any way Russell's – I mean, Russell's coming off being injured for most of the year.
I think that's the hope, Joshy boy. I mean, I think you just have to get him in there and see. Like, I don't, you know, there were a couple times where Burns went two or three innings. I don't think he went much further than that. But if he were to pitch against South Carolina an inning and he does well, and then maybe he pitches another inning in the SEC tournament and he does well, and then maybe he pitches two innings.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him by the time you get to Omaha, which – how good are we that we're just sort of assuming that?
I'm fine with it.
Hopefully you can stretch him out a little bit by then. I mean, I think that's best case scenario.
Out the door, Russ, if we do make it to Omaha this year, my expectations, I want to get to the championship, then let the dice fall there. See ya.
Let the dice fall, Russ.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Roll the dice. They also fall.
You have to roll the dice.
Well, they tumble.
Yeah, they take.
Where do the chips fall? Where does that? What
is that when
is
you
that?
Drop them in the middle? Let the chips fall.
You don't jump. You don't throw the chips.
You're not supposed to throw the chips. You don't splash the pot.
You hold the chips. You put them in stacks.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Fondle them.
I will splash the pot however I like. I don't know. We need to look that
up.
Tucker, look
recently.
That up. Let the chips fall where they may. Why is that the saying?
It should be let the dice fall
how they may.
How long has it been since you watched Rounders?
Year, maybe.
I have seen that movie.
Whoa. That's a good movie.
Might impress you.
What?
You've never seen Rounders?
Teddy KGB?
I'm not a big gambling movie guy because like a lot of the –
not a big John Malkovich guy?
Yeah, a lot of the casino movies.
Me? What?
a lot of the casino movies, like, I don't understand the games. Like, I don't know how to play craps. I don't know if that makes me a dummy.
This is just poker.
You think I do?
I don't really. I know the just enough poker to be dangerous, just enough to lose a lot of money.
That's what this movie's for.
Well, whatever. All those movies, it's like movies about the stock market. There's always a smart guy who talks way too fast, and it makes me feel dumb, and then I don't know what's happening, and I just, I don't like it.
You know what this sounds like to me, Houston?
What's that?
An awesome thing that Russ hates for no good reason.
I don't know if he hates it. He just hasn't seen it. If he watched it and hated it.
No.
I'd have a problem.
If I had given this reaction on anything, it would be immediately immortalized on the
list.
It
is weird that you
list.
Don't like gambling movies.
Casino movies.
Because I'm with you. I don't like going to casinos because I'm like, I don't know how to play that game. I don't know how to play
that
game.
I understand how the hell to play a Baccarat, but I love watching James Bond movies. He's always in a casino.
Like, I love playing blackjack with friends. I'm terrified. I'm terrified to sit down at
There's no Bond movie where he plays blackjack. He's always playing the hardest, most difficult game to understand.
Casino Royale, that was Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
That was a good one. But yeah, Baccarat, I...
So you didn't like Casino the movie?
That's not much about
gambling. I did, but it wasn't... I don't feel like it was a gambling movie. It was a mob movie.
Yeah.
That's true. I would have no... I don't even know how... craps works. I don't understand.
No idea.
It seems like a game that would make me really mad.
I have some friends that figured it out, and they're like, "Oh, it's so much fun! It's so much better than anything else. We could teach you." I'm like, it's
too much like Yahtzee to me.
Oh, I love Yahtzee. That's just rolling dice.
Boring as hell.
It is boring. Yeah,
just throwing cubes on the ground.
Well, we got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll open up the phones with the smoking hot question of the day, and we'll let the dice fall where they may, bud. Which should be the idiom. We're making the change right here. Get on board. Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. So it is Monty Harrison.
It is Monty.
So it is Monty.
I think so. I mean, it's M-O-N-T-E. I don't see any.
I feel like that's something you should check. Being our update guy and all.
It's interesting. He did play baseball, so this is a Kelly Washington situation.
Yes,
I don't remember.
Man, it's 28
Winky,
years old.
Was Winky this old when he hit college?
I don't think he was this old.
It is Monte.
What?
Yeah.
No.
How'd you find that?
Wikipedia.
What?
Wikipedia.
I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is not a...
What's his last name? Williams?
Look at this. Right here, Bear. Right here.
Monte Fitzgerald Harrison.
Harrison.
Monte, yeah, he's right. The kid was right.
Doubted me. You did it again.
You kind of guessed and got lucky, but I'll let it slide.
Don't act like you're
never
wrong over there, Junior.
Drafted by the Brewers. Looks like he made it to the big leagues with the Marlins and the Angels.
Yeah, I don't think his stints were particularly long, though.
Doesn't look like it.
Like, he was just called up while other guys were on rehab assignments.
He's trying to figure out if he could make it to the NFL?
He's
going
to be 29 when the season starts.
That's got to be so tough, man, to to get drafted out of high school. You work your way up. You get your shot in the bigs at the age of 24 or so, 5-6 years in minor league ball, and you're just not quite good enough to stick. That's got to suck.
Then he's got to go back to college.
It's the reverse Tim Tebow.
I'd almost rather get drafted and then get in it and just be like, you kind of top out at double A ball or something, and you just kind of know. Second Bull Durham reference of the day. It's like Kevin Costner. I was in the show. I was there. And then you're just chasing it for your Crash Davis.
Yeah. Chasing it forever.
But, I mean, I kind of pull for a guy like that to come to – I hope he does well at Arkansas. I think that'd be a cool story. Kelly Washington, I remember the day I remember reading it in the News Sentinel. Mike Griffith had the article about, like, we're getting this 25-year-old baseball player. Who had ever heard of this guy? And it's like, he's a walk-on, so
like, he had to pay his own tuition.
Well, and this is in 2001, okay? So we were really good back then. And I remember that, like, thinking, well, he's probably not going to amount to much. He's a walk-on. Like, how much of an impact can he have?
How's he going to play in front of all these other –
we got Dante Stallworth on this team, man. And
blue chippers.
And, dude, like, Kelly Washington was
– he was good.
He was a dude.
He was also kind of crazy. He was
– diva wide receiver.
Big time.
He's a guy that would show up in just, like, a sports coat with nothing on underneath it.
Well, nope. there was one – he was on a College Game Day feature where he was, like, wearing – like a Speedo, and he's all baby oiled up.
I remember that now, yeah.
he was kind of freaky.
But he was good, man.
What did he call himself?
The squirrel.
Well, that was his dance. He was the future.
The future.
The squirrel
the future.
Was his dance.
Yep.
Future.
But, like, he wasn't a dumb guy or anything. He was just a diva who's totally full of himself. I remember, because I was on campus still at the time. Like, I was still in school, and he had this purple Geo Tracker.
What?
Like, remember Lakers the Geo purple? Tracker?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember.
What were the other Geo cars they had?
Metro.
The Metro. Yeah. I had a friend who had a Metro.
Those things are like roller skates.
Geos are not really a thing. I mean, when did they stop making Geos?
I don't know. It was a GM product, wasn't it?
Let's see if I can find a Geo Metro.
Kelly Washington.
97.
He was certifiably.
They stopped making Geos in 97.
89 to 97.
Have you ever heard of Geos, Tucker?
That's a hard no.
Look one up. I guarantee you'd see
everything right. You're look. Discussing is like 4 months before I was born.
Look at this. 1995 Geo Tracker. That's what Kelly Washington drove.
Looks like some car you'd see purple. In Europe.
It was purple.
I think it was purple.
I remember the Geo Storm. Those were like pretty popular for a while. It's the Storm, the Tracker, the Spectrum, and the Prism, along with, of course, the Metro.
But he was like a few sandwiches short of a pit. I mean, he was kind of nutty, wasn't he?
He was nuts, yeah.
Kelly Washington.
But in a funny way.
Yeah, yeah.
He absolutely torched LSU up here.
Yeah.
What'd he go for, 200-plus?
School record, I think, 256 yards.
250, yeah, I was thinking 252 or 258, something like that.
Not the second time, though.
No, he did not.
He had his chances. He couldn't catch the ball. Do you remember right before half in that game, we kept throwing those fades?
We're doing this? Okay, we're doing this. Just, all right, that's fun. No, yeah, let's just talk about the day my parents sat down and told me they were splitting up and that I was going to the orphanage. That actually didn't happen, but I can't imagine that conversation would be any worse than reliving the 2001 SEC championship game.
You're the one who brought up us playing LSU and Kelly Washington being on
the
team.
That was the one we won.
I know.
That was good.
And then we lost the next one. It's pain. We had our.
It was
my parents were booking flights.
Dante Stallworth dropped one. I remember
he dropped one and then fumbled one.
Travis Stevens
fumbled one. Yep.
Julian Battle dropped a sure pick six, just hit him right in the chest.
And we were the only team, Florida, that had any kind of chance about going toe to toe with that Miami.
I'd have given Florida a chance if they'd have beat us. I don't think they'd have had a chance.
And we had knocked out their starting quarterback, Rohan Davey, their starting running back, LeBrandon Tofield, in the first half. We the game won, and then John Chavis, we all love Chief, but he just sort of stood there. Hey, Chief, I think Matty Mock is going to keep
it. It's going to be a quarterback draw again.
I think
No. We're going to bail the coverage. Matty Mock would get the snap. He'd count to about four, and then yee-haw.
And we were deprived of getting to see.
Sorry.
Two of the most vicious college defenses. That would have been the matchup. Yeah. That would have been an all-timer.
Much better than – who did they end up playing, Nebraska?
Tennessee-Miami. I mean, they –
well, let's be honest. Bones
would have gotten broken.
That offense was so much better than the 98 offense.
Oh, not even close.
Because
you had
Kelly Washington and Stallworth on the outside with Witten in the middle, and it's like you have to play two high safeties. That are, or we're going to burn you deep all day long, and then we just smash you with Travis Stevens.
Who was, I think, a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award that year. Very close.
He was awesome.
In fact, I think he might have won it had he not, well, not just that, him, that the whole team bleeped the bed against LSU.
That defense was nasty.
Well, this has been a really fun conversation, boys. This is great.
Crazy Eddie Moore.
This is good.
Me, it's
I'll never forget what he did to Kelvin Kite.
Kelvin Kite won't either.
He won't remember it.
Somebody
Kelvin Kite has no
he
idea.
He never saw it happen. He never saw it coming. And
I've never seen that quite that way. He gets hit, flips, lands, and then just stays completely stiff.
Forget being thrown out for targeting. You would be kicked out of the game of football. You might go to prison for that hit today.
He completely just unloaded on him.
You know, we probably beat them by three touchdowns if Witten doesn't. Didn't Witten have
a couple drops in the first half?
He had a bad drop, and then one of the drops he bats up, and they pick it off and return it 30 yards to set up a touchdown. We should have killed them.
Evil voodoo type things happen in that place.
Yeah, I still can't believe we won that game. What were we, 18.5 point underdogs?
You know who the running back was for the Gators that night?
Is it Gillespie?
He is your Titans general manager, Rand
Was
Carthon.
It really Carthon? Wow.
Yep. He had a big run.
Gosh, that was a good team.
I think Eddie busted his, you know, what Eddie
Go
did.
Gator.
Wonder what that felt like.
Who?
The Eddie Moore thing.
Kite? I don't know if he felt a thing. He just woke up.
Probably just lights out.
He just woke up on the sidelines saying, what happened?
How many times has that happened in that rivalry over the years? Guys waking up on the sideline not knowing.
I don't know. Did they ever find Joey Kent's tongue? That was a bad one.
I've heard from guys who were on the sidelines said like they almost threw up when they came. Like his tongue was hanging off basically by a thread.
Yeah.
Just blood everywhere.
Oh.
Did you ever knew that?
I did, but it, just
when he got
about it.
That was one of the most vicious. I kind of blame Peyton on that. You can't throw that ball right there. I mean, it was he's running directly towards the safety.
That Joey should have had his mouthpiece in.
Well, yeah, that too.
You don't bite your tongue off wear a mouthpiece.
I still don't think that was a fumble though. It's just an incomplete pass.
I was so
pass.
Distracted by the violence.
Yeah, like is he dead? But then he started rolling around like bad, and I was like, "Oh, he's alive." But
okay,
he's
so is that the
hurt.
Most violent hit in the Florida series?
The one on Kent? Yes, and I don't even know if. Yeah, no, it is the most violent. James and Jackson had a really good one on.
Oh,
was it Brandon James?
Yeah,
that was a really good one.
That was a life
one.
Changer.
That was a really good
the
one.
The Barry Tebow collision.
Barry Tebow collision was very very
the
good.
Same game.
Yeah, that game was crazy. We had no business being anywhere near in
that
game.
That was Lane Kiffin. Urban Meyer basically said they were just playing to keep it close, which he absolutely was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Lane the next week, I would never do that. I can't believe he said that about me. I can't believe he told the truth about what I would try to do to make a sure loss look much less worse than it actually was.
You remember that sound it made when Eric Berry hit him, their helmets hitting?
Like a cracking thud. Had bass in it.
Roger Penske today says he has suspended the president of Team Penske along – it's not Penske material – along with three other
– Nice.
That Tim Sender.
For two races for their roles in the cheating scandal that has rocked – IndyCar ahead of the Indianapolis 500. Penske says in an interview with the Associated Press that a review done by his general counsel found that the team had, quote, no malicious intent by anyone, and chalked up the incident as a breakdown in internal processes and miscommunication. He said he also remains committed to reigning Indy 500 winner Joseph Newgarden and is actively trying to sign the two-time IndyCar champion to a contract extension, but long and short of it, Bear, is we have a racing cheating scandal. Four guys suspended on a racing team
right before
the Indy 500.
So Newgarden is a Tennessee guy, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Nashville. Hmm,
cool. Wait, a Tennessee guy won the Indy 500 last year?
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden.
Good for him.
I'm not. Is this related to the push to pass incident that happened at the race recently?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I knew something was going to happen, and they kind of tried to play dumb. Basically, there's a button on these guys' steering wheels, and you get so much only so much time, like 200 seconds, when you push the button in, it engages it, and it's called push to pass. It boosts your speed up.
They have turbo buttons on the IndyCar now?
Yeah, it's called push to pass.
I didn't know that.
There are certain times during the race where you are not allowed to use it.
Oh.
One of those being when you're restarting a race. It's just, I don't know why. Partly because it'd probably be dangerous with the cars that close together. But anyhow, they got busted, and something got changed with the software on both of their cars, I think.
Well, it's the old racing say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And
yeah, but this is a really bad look because Penske owns the Indy 500. He owns Indianapolis.
Well, we've talked about cheating a lot, especially in baseball. Of course, cheating is rampant in racing, but so much baseball talk about cheating this year in college baseball with Jim Schlossnagel accusing a fellow SEC team of having a video feed in the dugout. Very Houston Astros-esque allegation. Was, of course, that was a terrible cheating scandal a couple of years ago by the Astros. You have a Georgia pitcher get caught dabbing a little something-something on his arm. Vanderbilt pitcher got thrown out dabbing a little something-something on his arm. Of course, Tennessee getting set to go to Vanderbilt, where 2 years ago Tim Corbin checked the bat. Check the bats. And
was that anniversary yesterday?
It's close. I feel like that series was pretty early in the season.
Give me back my bat, that game.
I don't believe that's a direct quote. I believe there was a
paraphrase.
Expletive in there.
Yeah. So we kick around this. Who is the GOAT cheater? And maybe GOAT isn't a good. Who's the biggest cheater? The biggest, lyingest, unscrupulous cheat in sports history? I've got a couple. I'm sure you guys have a couple. I'm sure the listening audience has a couple. Let's kick it around and see if we can come to a consensus this afternoon. 865-288-3131, your number to get on the show. 288-3131, the drive continues. We'll run down the list of infamy when we continue next right here on the drive. Back here on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell, Houston Bear, Tucker, back with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in today. Biggest cheaters in sports history. Do we want to gloss over the steroid era? I feel like that's the low-hanging fruit in there, McGuire. Sosa, Bonds. I mean, there's just sort of so many guys you could lump into that discussion.
But there are obviously other things in baseball that you can cheat with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, one of mine's baseball. It was an incident, but it was such a public display. I mean, you just cold busted. Greg Nettles with the Yankees had a bat explode.
Oh, I love it when the cork comes out.
It wasn't cork. You remember when you're a kid and you go to like Kmart or like Target or somewhere and they got
bouncy balls,
the super balls?
Yep.
He had cored out a bat apparently and had stuffed it full of those things.
That's awesome.
And
that is awesome.
When the bat split, it was like a shower. Epic moment.
That happened to Albert Bell, right?
Sammy Sosa.
He had a corked bat.
Yeah.
Remember Sosa Sammy did too?
Chris Sabo.
Sosa said it was his batting practice bat.
How did that get in there?
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Yeah.
No, I know. Buck Showalter did a whole series where he actually corked a bat, and he said, don't use cork, use super balls. They're way better. And he showed how you cut them up and stuff them in there.
Really?
And then at the end, he's like, yep, there it is. This bat will give you an extra 10 or 15 feet, but it's illegal. Don't do it.
That's awesome.
It will. I mean, it makes sense. If you think it's more, I guess it's what do they call it? More like more reactive or I don't know. Having that super ball inside there gives the bat more spring, I guess.
I guess the other one that kind of jumped out to me, we began the show today talking about the Brady roast.
Yeah.
And part of that, and I guess he could fall back on, it was a roast. I was joking. But he kind of joked about Deflategate and basically said he did it.
Oh, yeah. I still don't think it was because it wasn't to help him. That was the whole thing. Everybody kept missing that. Go back. If you go back and look at the Patriot running backs did not fumble the football. It is much harder to fumble a football if it's got low air in it. That's mm-hmm. where you were getting or receiver, running back or receiver.
I see Brady, Belichick, the Patriots, that whole thing. I mean, they're taping sidelines. They're deflating the footballs. They're bugging the locker rooms. And at a certain point where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, I'm guessing that a lot of the things that I believe they were doing were probably being done by other teams, and there's no honor amongst thieves. And just the way all these baseball teams are pretty shady, it sounds like. I think football is probably no different, not a lot different anyway. But in my mind, there's always a air of suspicion around the Patriots. I think they had they had it down to a science. They're working in the gray area, man. Any possible advantage, I think they mm-hmm. were on top of it. And you come to find out that their owner isn't necessarily the fine, upstanding moral pillar of integrity that he was made out to be.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Another one I had, Rosie Ruiz. Let me tell you about this broad.
Oh.
She won the A4 sexist comment. Boston Marathon 1980. The title was stripped 8 days after the race was discovered. She had not run the entire course. She is believed to have jumped onto the course about a half a mile before the finish. And they quickly...
Apparently, that also happened at the Boston Marathon in 1904.
That's happened a couple of times.
Fred Lors. I'm sorry. This was
always intrigued me.
This was the Olympics. It was Summer Games in St. Louis, and he rode along in a cab, and then he admitted to it before they put the medal.
She just
kind
of, it was going to be the third
appeared
the third fastest time ever recorded by a female in a marathon. Apparently, she didn't look like it'd be like seeing me run a marathon and winning one. She wasn't very physically fit.
No, that's a good one. Chris, any cheaters stand out as being particularly egregious in your mind?
A couple of people sent him in, but I immediately thought of Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
The way he paraded around about how how dare you ask me that. And then
the only thing I will say in his defense is that sport, they're all dope.
No, they are. Yeah, that's true. And then I had another one, and I thought about this one. This is pretty good. Tanya Harding taking out Nancy Kerrigan.
That is true.
Before the Olympics.
Why?
What? Is that cheating or is that just felonious criminal behavior?
It's both.
It's just felony assault.
It is. Yeah, I'd say both.
Because you're...
Attempt to maim, I think, is what they charged that guy with.
Sabotage.
A maiming.
She had some good... I mean, you talk about just total trailer trash. No offense. She had some good 911 calls. You ever hear the Tanya Harding 911 calls?
No.
Oh, yeah. Her husband be beating on her. It'd be, a whole hillbilly thing going on. She'd call, you know the way, officer, so come on over.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch that I, Tanya movie?
I did.
Was it good?
The one with that, they interviewed her in it, right?
Like no, it's a movie with
Then I'm sorry. I watched the docuseries.
Lady from The West Wing. What's her name?
Okay, yeah. No, I don't think I watched that.
CJ Craig, that actress.
The documentary on her, you kind of start to wonder, like, maybe she didn't do it.
What?
Or, like, didn't set up her ex-husband to do it.
Galooly?
But she was a banana boat, man. She
was
wild.
It was her ex-husband and his...
Hired Galooly, this big fat guy to go whack her on the leg with a steel pipe.
Jeff Galooly. And I can't remember the other person's name. Well, yeah, whacked her right in the knee with a damn crowbar, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was a lead pipe.
It was like on CNN.
Oh, it was a big, big deal.
Who deserves the most scrutiny of SEC cheating? I'll give you three choices here. Bear Bryant, Adolph Rupp, John Calipari.
Adolph Rupp basically invented it.
Calipari does. I mean, like his. I know it's all legal now, and he's in his element. But having two Final Fours vacated, let's be honest, he was paying Anthony Davis and those guys the Final Fours he made at Kentucky. Regardless of how you feel about it, it was against the rules at the time. You know, fixing test scores, which is basically what got Donnie Tindall a tenure at Show Cause.
Mm-hmm. They had somebody take the SAT for
D-Rose. Yep.
Yeah. You know what, though? This is weird I'm about Cal. I kind of feel like same feeling I get when I watched The Sopranos. I kind of cheer for Tony. I'm not cheering for Cal, but I'll give him a pass on everything.
It's weird. I don't give him a pass. It's weird that the gangster has lived long enough to see his rules become the rules to the game. But, I mean, Bear Bryant and Adolph Rupp certainly did a good job of sweeping it under the rug. Not getting caught, shall we say.
Right.
Tucker, any big cheaters stand out in your mind?
Well, now that Houston mentioned the doping, you had the whole Russian scandal a couple years back.
And
all been blood busted doping. For it. They're the Russian Olympic Committee.
Olympics are another reason the Olympics suck. Just it's a full hotbed. Of cheaters.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even bring them up because nobody would be able to beat them in a cheating contest. But the old East German Olympic team, they took it.
Dude.
They were the GOATs.
Here's the thing. All of our track and field. I mean, doesn't Lance Armstrong represent the America in the Olympics? Marion Jones, Carl Lewis, Justin Gatlin. All of our track stars have been caught doping.
I don't think Carl Lewis ever got caught. Tested. Did he test dirty?
I think he admitted to testing dirty. I think. Yeah, I mean, I think that this stuff was pretty rampant.
It's nothing like these Germans.
The guy that stands out to my mind in terms of track and field will always be Ben Johnson at the 1988 Seoul Olympics.
His eyeballs had like those rippling veins like your muscles have.
This guy from Canada, like noted track and field hotbed Canada. The guy won the 100 meters at the Olympics by, it was like 5 horse lengths or something. Yeah. It was just stupid. And almost immediately failed the drug test. Like 2 days later, they're like, "Yeah, that dude was ruined out of his mind."
The sample he gave after the competition that they have to go give, that his first one came back like Chernobyl level hot. He was on all kinds of Russian steroids.
Nuclear.
865-288-3131. If you want to add to the list in honor of Team Penske, get one of these accordion folders to put the contents of the file into. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.